I'm going to ask you now to take your Bibles and turn with me to St. John chapter 14. And because of the time, I'm just going to read one verse. It's found in verse 27. St. John chapter 14. For the past few weeks, we have been looking together at precious words in the Bible. And we have looked at sanctification and forgiveness and redemption. Today we're going to consider this wonderful word, peace. Notice what Jesus says in St. John chapter 14, verse 27, there in your Bible. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm sure that most of us recognize this morning that we are living in a time of tremendous turmoil and tension. And the people of the world are troubled and lonely and restless and fearful and anxious and even desperate. And in the midst of all of this, people are seeking peace. It's a cherished possession if you have it. Peace, serenity, tranquility, calmness. I hope you have it this morning. And yet the fact remains that there are millions of people across this country who have never discovered and enjoyed the blessings of peace. I think this is what the prophet Isaiah had in mind when he said in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, he said, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Isn't this what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he said in Romans chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, "The way of peace they have not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes." I want to say this morning, there is only one way to find lasting peace in this Christ-rejecting world. It is one of the many blessings that come to those of us who are in Christ. Now notice I didn't say in a church or in North Stonington, but in Christ. Because of the death of Jesus on the cross, He has made it possible for you and I to have peace. I want us to take a few moments this morning and acquaint ourselves with this wonderful virtue that can be yours. It's right at your fingertips. You can claim it and experience it. Consider, first of all, notice you have there in your notes, the pursuit of peace. In Psalm 34, verse 14, David the psalmist declared, "Seek peace and pursue it." In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, Paul said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." This is a priceless possession that every person on this planet would like to experience. They are seeking an inner calm from the fears and frustrations of life. They are searching for an inner poise and peace from the stress and strains of modern-day living. And yet the tragic thing is that there are literally hundreds and thousands of people across this country that have never experienced God's serenity, God's wonderful peace. George Bernard Shaw was right when describing people of this generation. He said, and I quote, "They should have written on their tombstones, 'Died at 30, buried at 60. And there are many people just like that, just existing, just treading water, just going through life, not knowing the peace that God can give within the life. It goes without saying, to have found peace from a troubled and guilty soul is the greatest of all the discoveries that you can ever make. God wants to give us, amidst all of the disturbances of life, He wants to give us that wonderful peace. And we ought to be searching for it and seeking for it. But I want to say this morning, you're not going to find it in a place. I've known people, they've said, oh, if I could only move to a certain place in this country and start all over again, I'll have peace. You'll never find it in a place. You'll never find it in a profession. You'll never find it in pleasure. But you will find it in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the divine peace giver. Did not Christ say to the people of his day, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, my friend, when we are yoked to Christ, he becomes the burden bearer. He carries our burdens. We often sing about it in that song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Think of it this morning. Christ will give to us rest in the midst of restlessness. Christ will give to us peace in the midst of turmoil. And such peace is available to every person and adequate to meet every problem. Whatever you might be going through today, be you a Christian or non-Christian, you can find peace. And that's a prized possession in a troubled world. And then I want you to think of my second point, the promise of peace. God promised this wonderful gift of peace from the very beginning of time. Out of the pages of the Old Testament, the promise of peace is given. Listen to David when he says in Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Now that verse could have reference to the millennial reign of Christ when he comes back and he sets up his millennial kingdom. And two words in the Bible that describe the millennium is righteousness and peace. And during that thousand-year reign of Jesus, peace is going to fill the earth like the water fills the sea. But I want to say to you this morning, we don't have to wait till the millennium. You don't have to wait to some future day. Right now, Jesus offers to you peace. Peace of mind and peace of heart. But it was not until the Prince of Peace came that the promise of peace was fully given. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in the text. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you find yourself this morning fearful, afraid, phobias, maybe fear of the unknown, what's going to happen tomorrow, fear of a disease, fear of things you can't control? Jesus said, you come to me, and I'll give you peace. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. You know, the reason that scores of people are not finding peace, they're seeking it in the wrong place. Lasting peace, eternal peace, can only come and will only be found in Jesus Christ. The final gift that Jesus gave to his disciples before he went back to heaven, think of it, was his peace. What a marvelous gift to bequeath to them and to us. Matthew Henry, in his devotional commentary, writes of this when he said, and I quote, when Christ was about to leave the world, he made his will. His soul he committed to his Father. His body he bestowed to Joseph. His clothes fell to the soldiers. His mother was left to the care of John. But what should he leave to his disciples that had left all to follow him? Silver and gold he had none, but he left them that which was infinitely better, his peace. Peace I leave unto you. What an exhilarating gift that can be ours, and we can experience it. Have you ever thought this morning and taken time to consider the kind of peace that Jesus has left for each and every one of us? Well, I want you to note, according to your outline, first of all, it's a personal peace. Notice he said, my peace. The words could be literally rendered, the peace that is mine. In other words, Jesus is giving to each and every one of us his own personal peace. Such peace is not given to the world. It's not given to the non-Christian. But it's given to each and every one of us. It is one of the divine blessings that comes to you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. One of the 39. Peace. But it's more than a personal peace. It's a present peace. Notice what Jesus said there in your Bible, I give. It's in the present tense. It's at for this very moment. It's a present possession for every child of God. In other words, Jesus is trying to tell his disciples that they are called to a peaceful existence in this very life. It is for today as well as tomorrow. Notice Jesus did not declare, I have given or I shall give, but I give. You don't have to wait for some future day. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven. At this very moment, in this sanctuary, on this Sunday, you can experience experientially God's eternal peace. Isn't that wonderful? Peace of heart and peace of soul and peace of mind. In the midst of all of the world and everything around us. But it goes beyond that. The peace that Christ gives is a perfect peace. Notice he says there in verse 27, my peace. Now I'm sure when Jesus gave this to his disciples that he wasn't encouraging them to think erroneously that just because he was going to give them peace, there was going to be no problems or no pain or no persecution in this life. That couldn't be further from the truth. But he does promise us a serene spirit amidst the troubles and trials of life. The peace Jesus promised does not deliver us from trouble, but it does calm us in trouble, and it does see us through trouble. And there are some of you here this morning that could stand to your feet and say, Reg, I know what you're talking about. I've been there. I've needed that peace. I wrote a little booklet some time ago for people who are facing death entitled, With Christ in Your Sorrow. There are people here this morning that have gone through bereavement and sorrow. They know what I'm talking about. I wrote a little booklet for those who are going through suffering entitled, With Christ in Your Suffering. There are those this morning that could stand to their feet and say, I know what you're talking about. I've had the disease. I've had the malignancy. I've been flat on my back in the hospital. And even in that situation, I have had the peace of God. He's been right there with me. He doesn't stand outside of the circle of my suffering and my sorrow. He knows what I've gone through. And he does. And we have that wonderful peace that he gives us. The inner peacefulness was exhibited by Christ throughout his life. Can you remember in the midst of that raging storm? With the waves beating against the boat, lightning flashing, thunder roaring, and winds blowing, Jesus enjoyed a perfect sleep there in the back of the boat. And now as he's making his way majestically toward the cross and realizing that he was about to die and knowing the sorrow and the sadness and the fears and the frustrations that was going to come to his disciples, Jesus recognized that they needed to know that he was not going to leave them as orphans upon the sea of life without any direction. But he promises them a perfect peace. Such is the peace Christ desires each and every one of us to have today. We sing about it in the words of the hymn, peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful gift from above. Oh, wonderful, wonderful peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love, the greatest gift that God can ever give. For those of us who are in Christ, is this abounding peace and this abiding peace that is forever with us, no matter what we might go through. When Christ left the abode in heaven, think of it, he brought down from heaven that heavenly peace. And Jesus has come and says, Luke, to guide our feet in the way of peace in Luke chapter 1, verse 79. And at his birth, the angels declared in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And you know, it's interesting that throughout the life of Jesus, as he preached, in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, it says that preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that was his message. Come unto me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. But that's not all. After his resurrection, the first greeting of Christ to his disciples was this, peace be unto you, in John 20, verse 19. Even when he was just about ready to go back to heaven, he wanted to give them peace. It's personal peace. It's perfect peace. It's a present peace. And it's a continuous peace. It's a permanent peace. It never leaves you. You know, I have met Christians across this country during the last some 40-some years, and some of them are always seeking and searching for something special or something more, or they've got to have this, and they're always running to some Bible conference or something else. And in the midst of all of that, I always praise God that I could say I have all that he has given me, and all I have to do is just continue to take. And the more I take, the more he has. And the more he has, the more he gives. And he gives out of superabundance. And he keeps on giving. Whatever your need is, he's the answer. It's not the gift. It's Christ. It's not the church. It's Christ. It's not the conference. It's Christ. He's the one that we need to put our trust in, totally and completely. But you know, there's a price to pay for that. It doesn't come easy. Doesn't cost you anything except surrender to Jesus. But have you ever thought this morning of the price that God paid? Listen carefully to the words of Paul as found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He says, but now in Christ Jesus. And that's where you are as a Christian. You are in Christ Jesus, spiritually speaking. Ye who were once afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's the doctrine of reconciliation. That's one thing we're going to look at, that when we become Christians, we're reconciled. We are brought nigh. Now, how was it possible? By the blood of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul writes and he says to the Colossian Christians, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. In other words, the Greek word for peace means to bind together that which has been separated. That's what it means. Peace, to bring together, to bind together that which has been separated. You and I have been separated from God because of sin. Jesus is the great peacemaker. He has brought us together again, brought us into fellowship to God himself. But it cost him something. It cost him his life. And he shed his blood. But with the precious blood of Christ, that's the price of peace. You know, that message needs to be rung clearly across this country and into the hospitals. And those who are burdened with guilt, if they can only begin to recognize that peace is available to us through the redeeming blood of Christ. And that redeeming blood of Christ makes us righteous and innocent and free from the guilt that once would have condemned us. And you can walk down the streets of any city this morning, no matter what sins that you have committed, no matter what the background, no matter what people might think of you, with your shoulders back and your head high, because Jesus Christ has forgiven you. And he's given you that peace. Now that raises the question, the phases of peace. What kind of peace? Well, we know one thing, that when you come to Christ, you have a peaceful existence between you and other Christians. The Bible says that Christ has broken down the middle wall, the partition. And now we are one in Christ. There should be between you and Christians and other people a peaceful coexistence. But I want to speak of two special phases of peace this morning. It's peace with God, and it's the peace of God. And they're totally separate. First of all, the phases. And by the way, I want you to note that the word peace is found in each book of the New Testament with the exception of 1 John. Isn't that interesting? It's so prevalent and predominant in the Word of God. And when you become a Christian, the first thing that happens to you, you and I, we have peace with God. Now, this deals with relationship, peace with God. In other words, before you became a Christian, there is hostility between you and God. There's a battle raging. There's a war on. You're fighting God. And then you come to the place where it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes by means of reconciliation. And when you accept Jesus to be your Savior, hostilities with God ceases. There's no more war. There's no more battle. The sin question has been settled. And now, vertically speaking, you have peace with God. That's what happens when you step out of the old life into the new life. Let me ask you this morning, has that happened to you? Do you have peace with God in your relationship? Have you been born into His family? One of the greatest preachers who ever lived was a man by the name of Harry Ironside, a prolific writer. Many of you here this morning have many of his commentaries. He was a wordy type of writer. And he was a commentary type of preacher. Never used outlines, but a wonderful man of God. Pastor of Moody Church for many years. Great Bible teacher. In one of his books, I came across this illustration and I said to myself, I've got to use it. He said, for many years I was myself in much doubt and confusion of thought until God by His Holy Spirit showed me through His Word the true ground of peace. That was many years ago. And as I write, I find myself living over again the conflict of those days and recalling, as though it were but yesterday, the gladness that filled my soul when I rested in Jesus Christ alone and entered into a lasting peace with God that has no disturbances throughout the years. And he goes on to say this, the clouds may at times veil my sky, sorrows and difficulties may try my soul, new discoveries of the corruption of my own heart may bring humiliation and repentance, but that peace which God remains unchanged. For it rests not on me, not on my frame of mind or experience, but on the finished work of Jesus Christ and the testimony of the Word of God. And so it does. You might get up tomorrow and feel terrible. Maybe you felt like God has forsaken you. But your peace doesn't rest on circumstances. It doesn't rest on events. Your peace with God rests totally, completely on what Jesus Christ has done for you and I at Calvary's cross. And once you get into the family, you have it for eternity. Peace with God. The battle is over. Hostilities have ceased. You can give up your sword. You can surrender to Him. And you can have real freedom. Do you have that today? That peace? Well, you have it when you come to Christ. But you know, it's more than just peace with God. Then you get the peace of God. And that's the next step. Now, this deals with fellowship. We aren't talking about relationship now. It has to do with fellowship. This is what Paul had in mind when he was writing to the Colossians, and he said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Here Paul is encouraging these Colossian Christians as well as us to follow God's peace and allow it to sit enthroned as an empire, an umpire, I should say, in our hearts, deciding all matters of importance and all conflicts. In other words, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it reign in your life. Such inner peace of the soul will bring a healing calm to our fearful and fretful hearts. It will fortify our lives and guide our souls amidst the trials and tribulations of life. But it only comes as we surrender as God's children now, and we allow Him to dominate us and govern us and control us. Paul the Apostle, that first century Christian, had this experience of inner peace, even amidst all of the persecutions and imprisonments, while living in that cold Roman dungeon, there at Rome, racked with pain and sick with suffering, waiting to be martyred for his faith. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, these words, Paul says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding." You can't define it. It's beyond your comprehension. Paul couldn't explain it. How that he could be in prison and still experience peace. He says it's beyond our comprehension. But he says, "It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And God kept Paul's heart at peace. His soul under all conditions and under all circumstances was a picture of perfect peace. And I've mentioned that for those of you that have come out Sunday night. The poise of Paul, the calmness of spirit that Paul had in that Roman dungeon, beatings could not destroy it. Water could not drown it. Punishment could not disturb it. Hunger could not damage it. And it's the same peace that Paul says and talks about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. "And the God of peace shall be with you." Right there in prison, he was with Paul. I say to you, only the God of heaven, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, can still the storms that rage within the inner soul and give us lasting peace. Someone has put it in these words, "When Satan flings his fiery darts, I look to thee, my terrors cease. Thy cross a hiding place in parts, thou art my peace." And so he is. Have you found that place this morning as a Christian now and in your fellowship with Jesus Christ? Do you have that inner peace? The peace of God, you can have it. You say, "Well, how do I know?" Ask Paul. He experienced it. You don't have to wait to be in prison. You don't have to be flat on your back in the hospital. Right now, at this very moment, you can have the peace of God reigning within your experience. And that brings me to my closing thought, possession of peace. The possession of peace. A life free of anxiety and turmoil and fretfulness is possible for every person this morning in reach of my voice. It is. You say, "Reg, you don't know my background. You don't know my problem." No, but I know mine. And I want to tell you this morning, as a minister of the gospel, that you can have and you can be free from anxiety, fear, fretfulness, anxiety, disturbances. You can conquer. And you can be an overcomer. Now, I'm not saying you aren't going to have problems. You aren't going to be tempted. There will be times when you and I are going to fail. But we can get up and go on. Because you've got to make a decision. When you're down, you either stay down or you get up and go on. And Paul says, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go forward." Because the Christian life, Paul says to me, is not stationary and it's not stagnant. It's steady and it's onward and it's upward. And that's exactly what he said. So peace of heart and tranquility of soul is possible for each and every one of us. How? First of all, we must accept God's forgiveness through Christ. You know, sometimes I have found even Christians who don't have God's peace because somehow they have lodged in the back of their mind of some sins that God has already forgiven, and they feel desperate and guilty of. When God forgives, God forgets. It's a clean slate, friend. If you're here within reach of my voice and you're still carrying around some sin that's already been forgiven, shame on you. You've been set free. You can have peace. You need to accept God's forgiveness in Christ. And then secondly, we need to abide in God's will. You know, someone has said, Augustine said, "In his will is our peace." And it is. There's nothing more joyful in all of life than to be in the center of God's will, where God wants you. You're married to the right person. You're attending the right church. You've got the right job. God's blessing your life. That's to know His peace. Now, there might be those areas this morning that maybe that's not true. You confess it to the Lord. He forgives you, and now you have peace. Because, see, the peace comes right where you are. That's where God meets you. God doesn't meet us all at the same place. God might meet you this morning in your pride. He meets us right where we are, right where our need is. I say to you, there is nothing more wonderful and fruitful and peaceful than living your life in the center of God's will. And then as we appropriate His Word, and we get into His Word, and we read the Word, as David was talking about, you know, there's no substitute for the Word of God. There isn't. This is the greatest book in all the world. You don't have to defend it. It starts with God in the beginning. And this is the compass that God has given every Christian. And everything you need to know is found right in this book. That's why it's impossible for you to say that you're a Christian and go from Sunday morning to Saturday night and not pick it up and not read it, not memorize it. You've got to get your direction. And when you do, there comes that inner peace the Word of God gives you. Think of it. 39 theological events take place within our lives when we become saved. We've been sanctified. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed. And we've come to the fourth this morning. We have been given peace. The peace with God and peace peace with God and the peace of Jesus Christ. And you can experience that. You really can. And whatever may come tomorrow or next week or next month, in the midst of everything, you can have peace that doesn't change like the weather and the leaves in the fall, but it's there. Peace. Peace. You know, we've got people like that at Second Baptist. I know who they are, and you know who they are. And nothing really disturbs them. My, they just walk straight ahead, and maybe God's going to throw them a curve, but they're ready. If it comes that way, and they just accept life as it comes, and they've got their feet on the ground, and maybe you look at them this morning and you say, boy, that's what I want. Well, you can have that. You don't have to emulate them. You can experience it yourself. None of us have arrived. We're still going on, Paul says, grasping even more firmly that purpose for which Christ saved us. So I leave you with, on Father's Day, every dad, you can have peace. Every mother, you can have peace. Every person this morning in the sanctuary, the peace of God. Think of it, the peace of Christ there in the boat. My peace I leave unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Shall we pray?